Welcome to another webinar by Timber Exchange. This week, we're looking at the outlook for the Nordic container freight market. And as usual, this webinar is brought to you by Timber Exchange, your partner to track global markets, finding global opportunities, automating your export processes, and now also outsourcing your trade finance and trade compliance. This week's guest to discuss the Nordic container freight market with us is Mr. Ludvig Löfström from Träfraktkontoret, or Wood Chartering in English. And this webinar is a perfect example of why we do what we do. It's to spread ideas, insights, and analysis in a modern and fresh way, so that you, the audience, can hear firsthand from decision makers what is happening in key markets around the world. And now, without further ado, a warm welcome to Mr. Ludvig Löfström. Hello, Ludvig.
Hello, Amir. Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Where in the world are you watching, joining us from?
Right now in Gothenburg, Sweden, at our main office, headquarters.
Nice. Gothenburg is a very nice city indeed.
So the sun's shining, it is.
Yes. Unfortunately, not here in Stockholm, actually. It's quite cloudy. Maybe tomorrow will be sunny. But Ludvig,
yeah.
How long have you been working with ocean freight?
I have a background from the shipping industry since 10 years, studied shipping and logistics, and then I began my career within Maersk, continued with SAF Marine, and eventually I ended up at Träfrakt. I'm sorry about the name. It's not very English compliant. Träfrakt 6 years ago, and it's been here since. Love it.
Super interesting. And tell us more about Träfrakt. What's its history?
Träfrakt is founded 100 years ago, approximately. It has the history of being in within the breakbulk segment ever since the start. Throughout the years, it's been a kind of a big development, and ever since our CEO and owner, Victor Schoenbeck, started in 2006 and later took over the company in 2017, it has become of what we are today, handling logistics focused within the forestry segment, terminals, containers, break bulk, road transports, rail, and so on. All right, so Träfrakt consists of Träfrakt itself, and then we also own the Värmlands terminal, located close to Karlstad in Värmland, with the focus of handling paper reels, and the development of Vålby is going to continue for many years going forward. Gonna handle sawn timber, logs, pulp, and even more paper, hopefully. Containers, going to break bulk, pre-transports, going to Europe, and so on. It's gonna be able to provide the whole market. We are the co-owner of Mima Wood, which is the one of the stuffing terminals in Gothenburg, stuffing about 7,000 to 8,000 high cubes per year with sawn timber only. That is the terminal. Träfrakt, we're kind of a small company. We're 24 employees today at the office, with a turnover of approximately 1 billion Swedish krona. So we're doing quite fine. Some people involved by, and of course, people handling the timber in Mima as well. We're exporting around 70 to 80,000 TUs per year, which is equivalent to, yeah, half the amount of 40 footers, which is the main equipment container wise for forestry products. Road and rail transports is about 20,000 per year.
Super interesting. Thank you so much. So is it only timber that you ship? You mentioned also paper reels. So what cargo types do you ship, and what are your most popular routes?
Yeah, so Träfrakt is, I would actually say that we are probably the only company that are only focused within the forestry industry. There are a lot of people and companies handling forestry. I would say that we're the only one that only handles forestry products, which means sawn and plane timber, logs, paper, and pulp. We're working with the mills directly, trading houses, and so on. So those are the commodities that we are shipping from all of the Nordics throughout the world.
And what are the most popular routes that you service?
The most popular routes, I would say, biggest one are container-wise Saudi Arabia, main port China, main port Japan, would be the biggest one. Those three combined collects a great amount of what we do in the daily business.
Okay.
Yeah.
And to understand the Nordic container markets overall, is timber an important commodity for the supply-demand balance?
It is indeed. Of course, we are reliant on the imports in order to get the empty equipment that we need for the exports. Looking at Sweden only, the forestry segment is combined covering about 70% of the exports. And sawn timber is a big part of it, of course. Even though looking at the mills within the Nordics, the container markets is not the biggest ones. Those are covered by Egypt, UK, US, and Europe itself, and the domestic markets. So the container markets are quite small in when you're looking at the pie chart of what is produced and shipped to. But it is very important indeed.
Okay. And in your opinion, what makes the Nordic container market unique compared to maybe the Central European or any other place in the world?
I would say collective, the whole Nordic is, I would say that it's quite convenient to come here because the economy is quite stable. Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and Finland. We're quite stable markets, import and export wise. I mean, picking out Finland, of course, is more heavy towards the exports. Finland is also the only one using the euro, which gives in certain times a different picture of it than what we might see in Sweden, Norway, where Sweden at least have the uniquely weak Swedish krona since some time back. But I would say that overall, it's a stable market, economy-wise, also volume-wise throughout the years. I mean, yeah.
And the final question before we enter the market discussion, the analysis of it and the outlook, in your opinion, what makes, because you've had different roles within this industry now, what makes Træfrakt unique as a freight forwarder?
I wouldn't call us a freight forwarder only because that gives me reflection of only being one sending freights back and forth without adding any value. For Træfrakt, we put great value into contribute to the Nordic forestry industry, developing products that we see and discuss with our customers that they can take benefit of. Pushing for new developments, conversions, trying to adopt to the behavior of our customers instead of only selling a rate back and forth between shipping lines and customers. I mean, taking the examples with Volvo, for instance, where we've invested a great amount of money to create a center and logistical solutions in order to create something good for the industry in the region of Värmland. I mean,
and moving on to the market discussion, there's so much happening right now with that we're reading about and seeing record vessel orders, falling container prices, blank sailings, changing regulations, shifting supply demand. So how did we get here, in your opinion, for the market to be so messy and so active in all directions at the same time?
Yeah, that's a quite heavy question, so to say. It is highly dependent on the economic situation, right? if it's cheap to build new vessels for the shipping lines, currencies, bunker levels, and so on. I would say that the trade demand is not always pushing for the new buildings and so on. So I mean, looking at right now, we're seeing a huge amount of new capacity coming into the market. That is of course creating a expectations from the market, the customers of ours, that okay, wondering what is going on right now. And also when the demand of transports is going down, it's not really collaborating in that sense. So I think right now we are seeing expectations of a continuous push downwards in the market overall. Let's see where we're ending up. I think we're somewhere close to a bottom, because right now the levels that we see is in par with what we've seen during 2016, when the shipping line Hanjin had to go down, and that is really not what anyone wants to see again.
Would you say that the current market environment is a normal cyclical environment, that by the time when the times are good, vessels are ordered, and by the time they actually are ready, the demand is usually maybe slightly lower because of the normal economic cycles?
Yeah, it doesn't always match, so to say. Sometimes it does, and that's good, because often when new capacity comes in and it's a good market, then it still benefits us all. Right now, maybe other benefits more than maybe the ones who ordered the vessels, even though new regulations might match up with the shipping lines, that they have to put new capacity in some certain routes because of the slow steaming. So, definitely it doesn't always match, and that is something we just have to play with. I mean, shipping lines can pull out capacity if they would like to regulate it. That's the strongest tool they have in order to not control the market, but maybe do what they can in order to keep it stable.
And comparing, now I'm not an expert in the ocean freight market, but looking at the commodity market, the changes that used to take 3 to 5 years are now happening within, let's say, half a year or 1 year, meaning that we've entered super economic cycles. Yeah. That we can, within a very short span of time, see both the peak and the bottom. Yeah. And it makes it that much more challenging to navigate the market and to plan. In this volatile environment, how do you advise your customers, and what market dynamics are you discussing with them in helping them with their ocean freight goals and bookings?
Well, we're looking at trying to take in all of the different aspects of the business and the finance situation of the world, seasonality, bunker, war risks, Gulf. There is always tension in the Gulf region. I mean, right now with Russia and Ukraine, we have the Sudan challenge or situation in Sudan, and I mean, all of those aspects are very important to take into consideration. And of course, maybe one of the most important one is, where are the freight rates right now, and what do we see within a quarter, maybe a half year, and so on, in order to see if we can gain a benefit towards competition, if it should go long or maybe a shorter period. So all different aspects. And of course, we're also taking into consideration the market of the customer, because I can only talk about what I see from my perspective. But I mean, the true experts of the forestry industry is actually my customers. And they see what is happening on their markets. And that is also involved in the full picture.
Looking at capacities, you mentioned that your key routes, for example, are China, Saudi, and another market. Mm-hmm. How are capacities on both your key routes, but also the normal key routes of Sweden overall?
Well, I would say right now, the capacity is rather good. And so it has been maybe the last 6 months. We've seen decreasing rates ever since a year back, slowly at first, but it's been a little bit more rapid during maybe end last year and beginning of this year. But the capacity is quite good. I would say that you see the most effect of it within the smaller carriers, the ones that are only trading east-west bound, US, Asia, Asia, Europe, and so on. Those are being affected more with the right now unstable conditions within imports and exports. I mean, looking at Sweden, we're importing a great amount less than we did maybe a year ago. And that is, of course, affected by the interest rate situation, inflation, and so on. So, but I would say that overall, it's a good capacity. It's not as bad as many expected within this period. Many expected a lot bigger issues and challenges with empty equipments for the exports. But I would say that it's been quite stable. I mean, of course, we had the strike situation in Finland earlier this year, where maybe us in Sweden benefited a little bit from that, where the shipping lines had to put some empties into Sweden instead, and we got more focus in Sweden from the shipping lines than Finland could it for that month.
Very, very interesting indeed, and we see, of course, and read that prices have fallen heavily, but have they fallen equally on all routes?
Yeah, not in dollars and cents. It hasn't. I mean, the trade lanes with the highest rates during the pandemic are still on a quite high level, but they have fallen with a great amount of dollars. I mean, looking at the rates for Latin America or Australia or North America, they were up on five digits, right? With around $10,000 per 40 high cube. Those have dropped heavily, and we're looking at maybe rates between $2,000, $3,000 today. So that's a huge drop money wise. Looking percentage wise, it's within the scope, I would say. But I mean, of course, the biggest drops are on the trade lanes where most carriers are looking for cargo, and where you have a greater competition. I mean, the markets where you only have maybe two or three, maybe four carriers are more stable. Of course, that's the outlook of a market like that. If you have 10 competitors instead of four, it's a bigger push, more vessels to fill, more capacity, and so on. And right now, I have a picture of that one, but you can see that is also affecting the rates. Of course, there is a huge overcapacity. You see the screen. So this was presented before the big alerts of recessions in the ending of the pandemic, where it was counted to about 30 million TUs too many accessible around the globe for the markets, compared to what is actually necessary for the industries. During the pandemic, that wasn't the feeling, and that wasn't the case, because everything was stuck in bottlenecks around the world. But this is the case right now. And I mean, today, when the demand has dropped even more, I would say that this number has maybe increased a little bit at least.
Wow, that is crazy. So we're at almost double the capacity of what's necessary.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the same time, the necessary volume has gone down. And I assume that the availability is actually inching up slowly.
Yeah, it is. The new buildings are coming out throughout ending of this year, beginning of next year, and then the coming couple of years. There is a new building situation. I also have one picture of that one. So this is the picture of the new buildings coming out in the coming years. And we had a quite interesting change within the industry. I mean, Maersk has been the biggest carrier in industry for a very long time. Switching focus for them has been a huge swap in within industry. So right now MSC is in the leading position, being the biggest one, and continue to have the focus on this one, while Maersk instead are focusing on logistic solutions, integrated supply chain, more in high-end logistical services, rather than being a shipping line itself, even though MSC is also doing that, CMA is doing the same. We see in the big movements, we see the same decisions from these shipping lines, even though they're taking some different turns. But right now MSC is the biggest one, but there is a huge new building fleet coming up.
And this will certainly probably take more than just this year to deliver the order book, right?
Yeah, definitely. This is for many, many years ahead.
Yes. And at the same time, there might be, assuming, vessels that will go out of service because they're too old or too expensive to run. So
yeah, things will shift forward. Yeah, that's true. But the scrapping itself is not being done, performed in the same pace actually as new buildings. So the capacity is increasing quite fast, I would say, faster than the scrapping is. So overall the capacity is growing, and we haven't scrapped any vessels during, or any vessels, probably some, but not that many as we used to during the pandemic and the high tension that we had during these 2 years, 2020 and 2021. Basically nothing was scrapped, which also created a huge overflow of capacity now when everything has turned.
Very interesting. I want to go back briefly to, we were discussing capacities and supply demand in Sweden, and you mentioned mm-hmm. that imports had reduced. Mm-hmm. So obviously that affects also exports. Has it affected key ports throughout Sweden equally, or are some ports more affected?
I would say that maybe some ports are more affected. Exactly. Looking at only Sweden, the port of Gothenburg has managed to keeping themselves quite stable, being in the forefront of moving volumes from different parts of Sweden down to Gothenburg or up to Gothenburg, depending on where the industry is. While maybe smaller ports have taken a bigger hit in that sense. I mean, Sweden is a country where we have quite many container ports compared to how many people we are in the country and how our consumption is. I would say that maybe, and I mean, looking at most of the markets around the world, we're seeing the same movement, right? We're seeing fewer companies or fewer members in the market being there, and the ones that are in are growing bigger and bigger. I would say that is how it's been looking so far this year in looking at the ports of Sweden as well.
Okay. And how are blank sailings from the Nordics and key transshipment hubs, and is that affecting pricing or ETAs?
I'm just putting this one up there. Reliability. It's been increasing ever since mid last year, or ever since beginning of last year, compared to the pandemic years, which is helping us in order to get a more stable service. Stable service means it's easier to price and it's easier to handle cargo. Also, demand is going down, which means that rates are going down and has been ever since. You see, the reliability has been going up, rates have been going down on all routes, actually. The blankings Yeah, there are there, but in the same time, the demand has dropped. Because like I'm saying all the time, the demand has dropped during the last year, and blankings are following it. As I mentioned before, blankings are the strongest tools of the shipping lines in order to control their capacity towards demand. I wouldn't say that it has been affecting us that much lately. Let's see how it will continue. But right now we're moving into summertime. I mean, vacation mode in the whole of Europe. I wouldn't say that we will see much more than maybe a hit on the transit times. Reliability wise, shouldn't be much of a difference because the handling in the ports are going great. I heard a number the other day, or was it this morning maybe, where Hamburg, the port of Hamburg is showing a huge decrease of volume as well being handled in the port. And that means that it's the cargo going there will be handled with carefulness and going to be in a reliable schedule, even though there are blankings in the schedules as well.
And just to ensure that we're all on the same page, blank mm-hmm. sailing is when a shipping line cancels or skips a port call.
Or simply moving out vessels from the service, the route, so to say. So,
okay. And bulk prices as well, which is a big part which is important for the timber industry. Bulk mm-hmm. prices are falling as well, and inventories in some key bulk markets like Egypt are quite high. So is that something that you're feeling? Because I can imagine that sawmills suddenly want to export larger quantities to smaller markets where there isn't a bulk connection. That suddenly, Ludwig, let's export to Nawaszewa or Ho Chi Minh or somewhere. Is that a trend that you're seeing more and more?
Yeah, that is also something. I mean, it comes and goes during the year. The market of Egypt being running slow is of course affecting Sweden, which is it's a huge market for the Swedish timber. I mean, we're trying to assist the sawmills and the trading houses in the best way possible. Looking at Egypt, we do handle the breakable, but right now, in order to maybe assist with the few businesses being done on Egypt, we can convert it into containers with a great calculation, and it wouldn't put too much effort in it. We've seen some great progress within that. So that is a huge benefit of still want to do business on Egypt, for example, but maybe not in the huge quantity as being asked for historically. But I mean, yeah, of course, it's all about for me and my sales team to be ready and available for the customers with rates so that they can do the calculations as fast as they can towards their customers doing quick businesses. So I would say that the trick we're trying to put into the market is being there ready with the rates for the markets that is requested.
As capacities and prices shift, because timber is a wonderful and very important product, but without shipping it, it's just timber. It's not going to get used for construction, for furniture, for pallets. So the logistics part is very critical, of course. And as capacity goes up and maybe prices become more available and fall to a more manageable level, it obviously can open doors to new markets. So what markets are you seeing that are opening or closing depending on capacities and prices?
Yeah, I would actually love if that would be the simple answer to it, that me only providing a low sea freight or a cheap inland haulage or whatever would open up a certain market. But there are many more aspects of it for the great sales and marketing boys and girls at the mills and trading houses to put into their calculations, right? But as mentioned on the previous question, I see that the Egypt is growing on the conversion discussion. I mean, it's a slow market right now, post Ramadan, and I mean, market wise, I would say that basically all markets around the globe is quite sleepy right now. But during these periods, we usually see that the markets where there is a large amount of population is also the ones that can use the timber that can't be applied to maybe the European market right now, or if the US is twisting UK maybe, then of course we have to go to somewhere else. And Southeast Asia is a huge growing potential. India, Pakistan as well, even though it's been a challenge of currency wise in Pakistan as well, looking sort of like Egypt. But yeah, maybe Southeast Asia, India, Pakistan, and Egypt.
An important thing to keep in mind is also changing regulation. Are there any regulations that we need to be aware of that affect us to a smaller or higher degree?
Well, there's going to be demands coming forward from the EU, right? Demanding you to be able to show your CO2 footprints and being able to choose a more sustainable roadmap for your products. And that's something we work really hard on in order to provide to the market, being able for our customers to choose. It's not everyone that are interested, especially right now when there's a heavy push on all price levels all over the supply chain. Maybe now is not maybe the correct match of it, but there's going to be a huge push of the sustainability discussion. There's also going to be some push of how the shipping lines are supposed to handle the emission, slow steaming and so on, that is going to affect transit times just as the blank sailings going forward. But not as we're looking at it right now. That will probably be a question for maybe end year 2024, something like that.
Okay, and as the regulations in European ocean freight changes, mm-hmm. Of course, welcome to come back and tell us about those. And we have two more questions before we enter the Q&A session. For those of you in the audience that have a question for Ludvig. And Ludvig, our industry depends quite heavily on paper-based processes and wet stamps and signatures. So how do you see the future for inquiring about freight, booking freight, electronic documents, tracking shipments, and just digital offerings in general? Where do you see that going?
First of all, I would like to once again say thank you for having me, Amir. What you and your team is doing is something great, I think. It's something I truly, truly believe in. I think you're in a good path of what is going to be something great in the near future. So with that said, everything you basically put up on the screen before is actually very interesting in order to apply to the daily work that we're doing. There are some challenges in looking at the EBLs, for example, different platforms for different shipping lines and so on, makes it harder to use and to apply, because all customers and all shippers and everything has to register on all of these different websites. A Spotify of the EBLs would be great to have, of course. Booking wise, freight wise, so on. For some shippers is a good thing, I would say. Rate-wise, I say that relationship is putting that much into our daily business, creating a too much of a static situation with maybe some of the shipping lines only offering spot rates on their webpage. Whenever you're asking them, it's taking too much time to get something out of them that might have to be better. And then they are end up losing business out on it, and I won't put myself into risk in that towards my customers at least. So I think it's very important to maybe have both Could be a good thing to just have a opportunity to look at it, to see what kind of rate level could I expect. But maybe there is a discussion to do behind it that would make sense in order if you have volume, long-term business or whatever. Definitely we're all going there, and it's going to be very interesting to see where we will end up.
Yeah, this is a topic that I've, firstly, many thanks for your appreciation. We really, really appreciate it. And this is a topic that I've, that I think about quite often, and even sometimes have nightmares about. And I really believe that digital solutions will never replace the personal relationships. But what they will do is ensure that your counterparty has the information they want to have at their fingertips, so that when you actually meet, you discuss actual business and value, something that adds value to both companies, instead of putting out fires, allocating blame, and looking through, you know, emails, 20 emails ago to find a single attachment, and just making that available at the client's or the supplier's fingertips.
Yeah.
And Ludwig, if for those watching that want to book something with you or get to know you, maybe grab a coffee, how can they reach you?
I'm the best guy to grab a cup of coffee with. Now, I guess you are presenting my contact information in this presentation later on, but you're always welcome to find my information on our website, woodchartering.com. I have a newborn at home, so I'm basically awake 24/7, which will make it easier for Brazil, US, and so on to get a hold of me if requested.
And now we enter the Q&A session. We have our first question. George is interested in shipping from Riga to Houston. Mm-hmm. He's inquiring for the freight rate and do you believe that the price will drop over the coming 3 months? Anti-competitive reasons, we can't, of course, mention any specific prices in the webinar, but can you comment on the supply demand on Baltics to Houston?
Yeah, of course. North America has seen a big drop on the rates ever since the beginning of this year. I would say starting out in quite heavy rates, dropping down approximately 50% up until now. I would say, looking at it, maybe there is another couple of percentage to do within the 3 months. So I would definitely maybe recommend going on spot for the North America, and maybe not bind yourself into something for the coming 3 months. That would be my reply to that question.
How is it, for example? I have a question myself. How is it, for example, today to India or China?
Mm-hmm. Rate wise or capacity wise, or
are there? Everything. Is it everything from reliability, capacity, price? Because also I believe that these countries also have quite high inventories now. So, how do you see this route performing today and in the future?
We saw a great push looking at the timber only. We saw a great push in the end of last year towards China, at least. India, Pakistan is a more stable market, I would say, in that sense. Of course, the volume is higher overall in China, maybe, but China is the more, I would say, looks a little bit more like Egypt. It's pushing with the huge amount of volume during periods, and then it's dead for a couple of months, and then it's pushing again, keeping up with volume. While India, Pakistan is as I said, more stable. China is looking at the trade routes. There are less transshipment hubs, transshipment ports, transit time wise. So it's often a little bit more stable than going with certain shipping lines to India. That could differ a little bit with transit times transshipment ports and maybe missing out a schedule, being laying idle for a week in a transshipment port. It's more of a case in India than main port China, for example.
I remember that Pakistan had some catastrophic flooding recently. Has this, I see two sides of the coin. On one side, it can absolutely, of course, hamper the market, that maybe infrastructure is destroyed. But on the other side, because of the flooding, there's probably a need to rebuild quite a lot. So how, do you know anything about that?
Nah, I would say that we still face the challenges with the currency, foreign currency in the country, which is, I mean, those markets, India and Pakistan, are still very young markets compared to other, not always being sure of what the timber is being used for over there. So I would say that's hard to predict. And I would say definitely the currency question is more of a an aspect to keep track on in terms of doing business or not in that country.
Okay, I believe actually I was reading yesterday about India, and Apple's biggest supplier that makes all these, you know, different devices for them is called Foxconn.
Yeah.
The company, which is very hidden, they have 117, according to Wikipedia, they have $179 billion in revenue and 1.2 million employees. And they're, so it really, you know, I don't know who the biggest company is here in this call, but, you know, they dwarf all companies essentially. And they're investing $500 million in a new factory in India. So India, within one generation, is going to have a huge jump in GDP, exports, know-how, and it's going to be a real financial power, much more than we've seen before, I believe. Mm. And there is a huge growing middle class there as well. So yeah. With a growing middle class, there's one speaker, I believe it's from Sadra or SCA, who said that in China, there's a growing middle class, and all of these people, every single family needs 4 chairs and a table. So same thing is going to happen in India. And it's something that's going to be very, very interesting to follow.
Yeah, I think the population of India and the country itself needs to develop and work more on their maybe infrastructure and I mean the full handling customs wise and so on, in order to really push the amount of trade, sawn timber, for example, going into their country, because right now it's more of a challenge for international companies to act in India compared to maybe China, at least what it used to be. Now maybe China with whatever is happening in the world right now with China, Russia, and Taiwan and that situation. But I mean, India, they some progress might be good in order to push it.
Yes. And the last question in the Q&A is, how often does it happen that delays, damage, or loss of goods happen during transit of timber shipments?
Delays, I mean, looking at sea freights and shipping, everything within a week is not as counted as a delay. Is you're always talking about an ETA, estimated time of arrival. So within a week, it's counted as on time, basically. What was the other one? Damages
or loss of cargo? Damage or loss of goods, yes.
Loss of cargo, I would say that it's a bigger challenge in the break bulk, where you put the sawn timber packages on top of on deck, so to say. Container wise, I haven't had a situation like that happen yet. Hopefully, none within my near future or even past that. Damage of the cargo, yeah. can happen. I would say that the main thing and the main discussions that we are facing with the customers might be damage of the containers that the shipping lines come back with, demanding repair fees all over the world. I mean, pushing in some timber on the floor might sometimes destroy the container floor. Sometimes the container floors are very old, been fixed a lot of times. And that's always a long and boring discussion to take, and adds no value to any part of the business at all. So I would say that is the most time consuming. I'm not always approached if there is any damage to the goods. That is what I would say.
Okay. Ludwig, thank you so much for coming on the show, talking transparently about how you see the ocean freight market, commenting on the timber market, and of course introducing Tjärfrakt Kontoret, a very reputable company in Sweden indeed. Thank you so much. And now I will be sharing Ludwig's and his company's contact details on the screen. Thank you, everyone. And in 2 weeks, thank you, Ludwig, very much. And in 2 weeks' time, we're interviewing one of South America's biggest sawmilling or pulp and paper companies that on the site produces 1 or 2 million cubic meters for fun. So until then, thank you very much and see you next time. Thank you, everybody. And thank you, Ludwig, once again. And see you very soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.